Hey folks, my name is Jason Spies and I travel across these great states talking to small business owners, CEOs, policymakers, musicians, and mentors about making money, giving back, and balancing life. I find out how they prioritize professional and personal time while still making money. Yes, indeed, our guests are real heavyweights in understanding business and life. So get ready to relax, learn a little bit, and get a cup of coffee ready, because my name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio.
Sitting on a million, sitting on it every day. Can't make no money giving your stuff away. Why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
Welcome to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for joining us this week on Coffee and Capitalism Radio, a place where we bring you exclusive interviews and distinct content from leaders who drive our economy. From CEOs to small business owners to mentors, Coffee and Capitalism is a leader in innovation, ideas, and inspiration. Coffee and Capitalism is about making money and giving back, learning the fine art of balancing work and family life, all while prioritizing your time. We peel back the layers of capitalism and get to the true roots of service and helping people, and having the faith to understand that that goodwill is going to make you more successful and abundant than you could possibly imagine. That is Coffee and Capitalism Radio. My name is Jason Spies. I'm your host, and let's do a quick rundown of our menu today here at Coffee and Capitalism Radio. Luke Russell, owner of Necco Steamworks. He's got a 3D printing business, and we'd sit down and talk with him about how that went from a hobby into a little small business that he's growing on the side. He also talks a little bit about what upcoming 3D technology looks like as well. And then we talk with Roger Johnson, president of the National Farmers Union. They've got a real epidemic, a real problem in the world of farming and agriculture, actually rural town USA, where opioid and financial worries have caused farmer suicides to reach epidemic levels. Roger Johnson, National Farmers Union, a little bit later on about the opioid issue in rural America, along with the farmer suicide epidemic. And then we talk with Janet Jacobson and Diane Schill, the co-owners of Woolly Girls, get an update on the wool and lamb and sheep market. And then we hand it off to multimedia kidjapreneur Otis with Kids and Capitalism. And he sits down with Josh Knutson, head coach of the University of Jamestown esports team. That's right, esports team, video game collegiate team. There's 72 of them in the United States, and the University of Jamestown in North Dakota has one of those teams. Multimedia kidjapreneur Otis talks with Knutson about the practice, about what competition looks like, and how do they choose which game they compete with, which video game they compete with. All right, I'll be honest, I'm still trying to wrap my head around this whole esports thing, so that's why we had to bring in multimedia kidjapreneur Otis. Let's be honest, translate what the heck is going on there in the world of video games. Okay, well, it's a big market. It's a big market. In fact, down on the Strip in Vegas, they have opened a esports arena. That's how big esports are right now. Las Vegas, the Strip, has a esports arena where thousands of people go and watch the kids play video games or the adults play video games, whoever play video games, just like somebody would go watch an NFL, Major League Baseball, soccer, football, whatever game. Now that's going on in the world of gaming. Okay, we got a fantastic show lined up for you today. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch Coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch Coaching.
I got to watch him give a talk at TEDx Brookings, and I saw him come into his own, where he shared uncomfortable things from his past in a way that created a teaching environment. And Eric's somebody that could easily lead with all he's accomplished, and it's a long list.
To find out more information about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch come to your company or event, visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com. Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Luke Russell, owner of Necco Steamworks.
Luke Russell and Necco Steamworks is the company.
Necco Steamworks. What the word Necco? Where does that come from? That sounds like some sort of Japanese word.
It is. It stands for cat.
Cat?
Cat.
Okay, well, there we go. Now I know. We're sitting here up in Grand Forks, North Dakota, in the 701 co-working space, I believe it's called.
Yeah,
and you've got an interesting little business here. It's a side business, I think it's safe to say, at this point. It looks like something you'd start in a garage. It looks like an erector set that is got machines and a printer of plastic, and you're making plastic tokens for this gaming event here, and describe a little bit about what this plastic token machine is and what it is you got going.
Basically, it's a 3D printer. You get the different filaments here, run it through the nozzle. Once it gets to temperature, it'll start melting it, and it follows whatever pattern that you've got laid out from 3D modeling softwares and things like that. And it figures out what all the paths are to actually give you the final product.
And what we're looking at here is about something about 70% the size of a coaster, and you're doing 9 of them at one time, and it's just it looks like something you'd see on History Channel, how modern marbles work, and it's a very behind the scenes or inside the machine look. It looks like fishing line, except for, what's that called, the weed eater.
Weed eater.
Like a weed eater line, just being fed right down. What temperature does it have to get to, and how liquid does it end up getting?
It just depends on what you're using. This is called PLA, and it's a biodegradable one. It's made from, like, soy, corn, things like that. This one, it gets up to melting temperature anywhere from, like, 190 degrees to 210 Celsius. And, like, they've got ones that are, like, carbon fiber and nylons and stuff like that that go up to, like, 240 degrees or more. And, yeah, like, once it glasses, I mean, it's pretty good. Like, I actually blistered my finger getting, like, molten plastic on it. So, I mean, it'll get really hot.
So this is made out of soy, the plastic. So actually your plastic gaming tokens are made out of soy. What two-part question. What types of plastic can your machine do, and what are considered the premiums all the way down to the entry levels?
Well, entry levels, this, like the PLAs, and not this one. I've got a couple printers. This one can't do it, but my other printer can. It can go all the way up to nylons and carbon fibers. And, like, nylons making like moving parts so that they self-lubricate and you can actually do more mechanical type stuff. Carbon fibers for like super strength. It's really good, but those eat the nozzles. Like this has a brass nozzle on it, and they've got one that's called an Olsen Ruby nozzle. It actually has like a ruby in the tip so that it doesn't wear through it right away. And, yeah, so, like, it just depends on how much you want to spend, but the carbon fibers and nylons are where it gets really expensive. So it's, like, $89 for 500 kilograms. And this is usually a kilo roll here, so 2.2 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah, the carbon fibers get ridiculously expensive, so do the nylons.
So anybody can be your customer, I understand that, but do you have a niche area? How does somebody come up with the idea to say, you know what, I need something 3D printed, and in order for you to actually feel confident enough and have enough business to start a little side business like you have? I mean, where's your business coming from?
Everywhere. Like, 3D printing actually only covers about 40% of my business. I do, basically, my main part of my business is cosplay commissions for anime conventions, sci-fi conventions, game conventions, whatever. So the last 2 years I've gotten into this, and it's become 40% of my business just because I can print things out, like armor pieces or the masks and stuff like that. Like right now they're playing Overwatch, and I printed out like the soldiers, I think it's Soldier 76. I printed out his helmet and his gun and some stuff like that for people who want to cosplay him at some of the game conventions coming up.
To listen to the full-length interview with Luke Russell or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. The Moody River Band has a new album hitting the downloadable streets on April 1st. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band.
Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Roger Johnson, president of the National Farmers Union.
Roger Johnson, president, National Farmers Union.
I appreciate you joining us here today, and this is kind of going to be a two-for-one for a lot of audience members out there, where we're going to do a little bit of a social issue that has some severity behind it, and then we're going to transition into a relationship between ag and energy and that history there, and who knows, we might even venture into the brave new world of technology. I mean, drones, ag, energy, it all seems to be intersecting. But Mr. Roger Johnson, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, Jason. It's good to be with you.
Well, I appreciate you coming on here. Can you give us a little bit of your background? Because your background is going to really set the table of why you have so much knowledge in this, because you've served at the highest level of, that an agriculture commissioner can serve at in the United States. So talk to me a little bit about your experience as ag commissioner and some of those things.
Yeah, so I grew up on a family farm in the middle of North Dakota that my grandfather homesteaded. I farmed that most of my life. And while I was doing that, I was also, it's important for part of this to understand that in the 80s, which were a very difficult period for agriculture, I worked as a farm credit counselor and sat down with farmers who were having trouble paying bills and worked on budgets for them, and then went in and met with their lenders and worked out solutions that were better than a bankruptcy or a foreclosure. That was kind of what we were there to do. And then after that, and I farmed during this time, so that was kind of a part-time job. Then eventually I was elected as North Dakota's Commissioner of Agriculture, served a dozen years, and now I've been out in Washington, D.C. for the last 9 years as president of National Farmers Union. The last couple of years that I was agriculture commissioner, I also was involved in the leadership of NASDA, the National Association of State Department of Agriculture, eventually serving as president of that organization. And so we, we kind of have our fingers in everything related to agriculture.
Yeah, and, we talked about the human side of things, and that's where we're going to go right now, because
The bullet point is suicide rates for farmers have more than doubled of veterans. I mean, when I saw that headline, that grabs you because, of course, the suicide rate of veterans gets all the headlines.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about importance here or trying to rank them, but it's a shocking headline. So talk to me a little bit about more than just the headline. What's going on out there?
Well, you kind of need to start, I think, with the economic stress. But there are lots of stressors in agriculture. But let me talk about the economics first. In the last 5 years, net farm income, on average, in the U.S., has dropped by more than 50%. That's a dramatic decrease in net farm income. Net farm income, in fact, the median net farm income this year, meaning half of all the farmers are above, half of all the farmers are below, median net farm income this year is projected to be a negative $1,300. So those folks who say, I have a job so I can farm, for many of them, that is literally absolutely true. And so the economics are very difficult right now for farmers. And, prices have collapsed by about 50% in that 4 or 5 year time frame as well. But it's not just that. I mean, family farmers in particular, they have sort of the weight of family generations before them who've always been on the farm, have been successful. Now they're struggling. There's been the stress of all these things that are outside of your control. You know, it's the weather, it's the markets. Those are the two really big things that you have very little control over. You don't have any control over markets. You have some control over how you market, but if the market never presents a profitable price, that's obviously a lot of stress. And so you've just got a lot of stressors. And on top of that, we are now in a real crisis with opioids in agriculture. Zippy Duvall, who's the president of the American Farm Bureau Federation, and I, as the president of the National Farmers Union, got together and decided we were going to work jointly on this problem because it's such a big problem in agriculture. We started by commissioning a survey. And here's the really interesting information on that survey. Most people think that drug problems are predominantly an inner city problem. That's certainly what I always thought because growing up, that's what it was. That's no longer the case. In fact, rural America has a larger per capita basis opioid addiction problem than urban America. In rural America, half of all respondents in this survey said that they were directly impacted in one way or another by the opioid addiction. They were addicted themselves, someone in their family, maybe someone who was in their very close circle of friends or acquaintances. In that group, a subset of rural America are farmers and ranchers. Farmers, in the survey, 74% of them, so three-fourths of all farmers, are directly impacted. Themselves, a family member, someone who works on that farm, they know or they are directly impacted by the opioid problem. And it's a really, really big problem. And I would argue that in a lot of ways that opioid addiction problem is another huge stressor that leads to suicide. It might be an overdose, but frankly, the overdoses, I don't think get counted in the suicide numbers. But you can imagine if you've got a family member who is addicted and you just got this enormous stress surrounding it. So the interesting statistic that you mentioned at the beginning, Jason, about farmer suicide rate being higher than for veteran suicide rates, farmer suicide rates are five times that of the general population. So it's a really, really big problem, and it's something that that we're trying to focus on. Zippy and I have joined up with Ann Hazlett, who is in charge of this at USDA. She reports directly to Secretary Perdue. And we're doing a number of sessions around the country to sort of bring awareness to this problem. And we're working to get help through Congress in different ways. There's likely going to be a piece in the Farm Bill. There are pieces in other appropriations that have come out. We're going to do what we can to try and address this crisis.
So, as any other signs, I guess, that friends, family members should be looking out for?
Well, yeah. There are, in fact, you should go to nfu.org, and then there's a link to what we call Farm Town Strong. You can go directly to farmtownstrong.org. And there's a website that we've developed with Farmers Union that provide a whole list of resources. Some of those indications you should look for, obviously, if people are kind of withdrawing, if they're, you know, if they're acting in a different way, if money becomes a real problem, because if you're addicted to opioids.
To listen to the full-length interview with Roger Johnson, president of the National Farmers Union, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. All of those social media links can be found at thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies. This is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. The Moody River Band has a new album hitting the downloadable streets on April 1st. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band.
I'm walking, I'm talking, I'm smoking, I'm joking.
Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Christy Huber, president of the United Way of Cass Clay, says about Hatch coaching.
I think it's a really exciting time for our young leaders today because leaders like Eric Hatch are changing the face of what it means to lead an organization or what it means to lead a brand. He's changing that. For many years, I think that the gold standard of leadership has been somebody who is very polished and has it all together, or seemingly has it all together. And throughout the years, I think that we've now, especially with technology and social media, we are drawn to what's real.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Janet Jacobson and Diane Schill, co-owners of the Woolly Girls.
Diane Schill, Janet Jacobson.
And it's the Woolly Girls?
Yes.
That's right.
What's the Woolly Girls?
Well, it could be our sheep, or it's us. You want a description of the company?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Both of our families raise sheep. And so we take the wool from the sheep and we wash it and dye it and card it and make it into felt. and then we make the items that we have in our booth from the felt.
So, okay, well, first of all, thank you for keeping this industry going. I did a story on the sheer wool industry 7 years ago, and I think there was just a handful of these colleges left, and one of them was in Hettinger, I think.
Right. Yes.
And so you are familiar with this?
Or, oh, yeah.
What do you know about Wyman Sheets was another guy I talked to with the lamb and woolen.
Yeah,
and he said that the market was seeing its better days.
Yeah.
And so that's why I want to thank you for what you're doing. But how is the wool market, the lamb market, the sheep market, as you know, with your experience?
Well, the wool market is low. I mean,
it is?
That's why we got into this business, because you couldn't even pay the shearer with what you got for the wool. And so we took the raw product and we made it into a finished product to increase the value on our farm of the what we were raising. Mm-hmm. As far as the lamb market, at least like right now, it's strong. And so selling
to
lambs,
eat.
Right, for meat.
Meat,
is,
yeah.
It's just like any other market. It goes up and down. And
sure.
It follows the beef market a little bit.
This program's on in Belfouche, South Dakota, which was once known as the wool capital
That's
of the United
right,
States.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so to see the drastic change, when is it because of synthetic fibers? I guess what is the reason wool isn't a premium product, I guess?
Well, it still is a premium product. I mean, the price of wool fabric is very, you know, still fairly high.
True, but poor choice of words by me. But what makes wool a difficult product to get to market? How's that?
I think the price of wool in the U.S. really fell when New Zealand had warehouses full of wool, and they, the world market kind of collapsed because the New Zealanders had so much wool. They kind of flooded the market. And then at the same time, many of the wool mills in the U.S. moved to Asia. And so a lot of the milling equipment and the knowledge of milling wool moved to Asia. And you're right, synthetic fibers also made it more difficult to sell wool.
One out of three ain't bad.
Yeah, yeah. And because, wool requires different care.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah. But it also has properties that no synthetic fiber has.
Absolutely. Look at that. It breathes very well.
It breathes. It will keep you warm even if it's wet. It absorbs moisture, but it doesn't lose its insulative power properties at the same time.
It's renewable.
It's durable. It repels dirt, so it stays clean. It has memory, so it doesn't wrinkle.
The sheep are happy when you shear them.
Yes, they love to scratch on something like, oh, I finally got rid of that coat.
I remember when I was a kid, I was involved with a shear session with a sheep. That was one of the most memorable experiences. I honestly remember the look on the sheep's face.
Yeah.
Like he was like happy. He's like, you know what it's like when you either take a shower after a long time or you get
That's
a haircut.
Right.
Or it's just all that weight and all that new feeling, and all of a sudden you feel the air again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's what I thought the sheep was thinking about. Do sheep think, I guess?
Of course they do.
They do.
They should think like sheep.
Yeah, not
they
like humans.
They follow much. So you guys have been raising sheep pretty much your whole life.
No.
I started raising sheep when my daughter had two bottle lambs, and after struggling to keep them alive, she said, Mom, don't you think it'd be easier if we had mother sheep?
Okay.
I said, yes, I do think you're right. So,
how long is that?
How long ago was that?
Without giving your daughter's age.
Probably 30 years ago.
You're a veteran?
Yeah.
And how long?
We've probably been raising them 30 years, too. We got in at about the same time.
Okay,
yeah.
But so not all of your life, all of many other people's lives.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah. Some of our lives have been probably longer than some, so.
So, okay, are you in any shops? Are you in any stores? Or do you rely heavily on these trade show events?
Well, we do a lot of art fairs and trade show kinds of things. Not a lot. We do five, six a year.
Okay.
Depends on the year. We do have a few small wholesale accounts. But
you do? Okay. Yeah. Like, you can name them if you'd like.
Michigan, North Dakota. Part of the Heritage Arts Center there.
Okay.
And then we have one in Driggs. Is that right? Driggs, Idaho.
Yeah.
Oh, you're out in Idaho.
Yeah. We have in Minneapolis, we have a shop that has...
You got a shop in Minneapolis?
And those are the ones. Those are primarily the ones we have.
Any story behind them, or was it a dart-throwing session as far as...
No, the North Dakota Council on the Arts and the...
Okay.
And some other business, small business development group did... took 10 artists to Philadelphia to a wholesale arts and crafts show some years ago, and we went with them and we picked up this Driggs Idaho account. It was one of the 20 accounts we had at one time, but we discovered, you know, after, you know, working all year on these wholesale accounts, that we worked a lot harder and made the same amount of money as we did the year before. So.
Oh, really?
without the work.
Well, I talked to the Sun Grape, the winery from Carrington. Mm-hmm. I forget. It's Dakota Sun. Okay. I talked to Dakota Sun, and they're in, like, Happy Harry's, and they're in the big bottle shops. And that only is about 35% of their business, so they have to rely pretty heavy on these trade shows and everything, too. And so it just kind of shows the different... ways you gotta distribute your product to make some money.
When you're doing one of a kind kinds of things, to which a lot of our products are, it makes wholesaling a different kind of project. And we don't have a staff of 20 producing these things. These are artist made, handmade goods. So everyone is a little bit different, which makes it adds challenge to wholesaling.
You love what you do? Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
And I was just going to say, you know, when you work in a wholesale account and you're reproducing many times one thing, it gets boring.
Yeah.
And we're more happy. We're happier when we're creative and don't have to be confined to a box of doing, you know, 250 of one thing.
There was a time in the world's economy was judged by art and culture. That there was a Renaissance period in our history. And... all you need to do is go over to Europe and take a look at how their cities are built versus New York City. It's industrial and art.
Yeah.
It's like night and day. It literally is. America is very industrial. It's just the way we are. And you go to some of the older pre-industrialized places, and that's where you see buildings that do not look anything like each other next to each other, because it was that person's artist interpretation of how they wanted to live, and et cetera, et cetera. So I think it's great what you guys are doing, because it is a... art is a dying art. It is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's. I started whittling out of boredom, and I was looking at it the other day going, I could probably sell this. This is like nicer than a lot of the stuff you get, you know. Just, but that's how a lot of it gets going. And so how do people get your stuff?
Well, they can come here.
Okay, but
we'll be here today and tomorrow.
Let's say this isn't live, so air before Bismarck, though. So
okay, we'll
be
in Bismarck at the Pride of Dakota show in Bismarck, or we have a business card, and you know, here, and we have a website which is mostly informational. We don't have a shopping cart on our website simply because our products are one of a kind. So we would spend most of our time photographing and posting them on our website. So you know,
your product speaks for itself.
It does.
To listen to the full-length interview with the Woolley Girls or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. All those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. The Moody River Band has a new album hitting the downloadable streets on April 1st. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band.
You feel a little dizzy. You're talking kind of silly like you have plans. Save the world. Just remember your past will only last if you don't take off your mask. When the outside's chilly, the inside is warm. You've been wishing you never been born. All I can say is that you try to behave and try not to get your mind blown. Show you something that's never been shown. Mind blown, your mind.
past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about hatch coaching.
Yeah, I mean, this guy gets people laughing. He gets people thinking. He's somebody that challenges and inspires. And what I think is so beautiful about Eric is he's real. I think the number one thing that I look for in speakers when we bring them into our platforms is that they're that person 365 days a year. Eric is not just a speaker on a stage. That's who he is at the grocery store. That's who he is when he's at the mall. But Eric is somebody that lives his values each and every day. And I think we can all respect that.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
June 15th, save the date. That's June 15th, the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota. That's June 15th. Be sure to save the date today, and we'll see you June 15th at the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota. Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, we hand it off to Otis with Kids and Capitalism as he sits down and talks with Josh Knutson, the head coach with the University of Jamestown eSports team.
Hello, my name is Otis with Kids and Capitalism at Donko Gaming eSports Day, and today I am with...
I'm Josh Knutson. I'm the head coach at the University of Jamestown.
Yeah. Can you tell us about your...
Yeah, so we've got a collegiate esports team. We have teams for Overwatch, Hearthstone, and League of Legends. We've got 16 guys on scholarship right now that are college athletes playing esports.
That's neat. Now, can you tell us about your practice that you have?
Yeah, so we, you know, just like any other sport, we practice 5 days a week. We typically have like a game on Monday, and then we'll break down film on Tuesday, kind of look at what went right, what went wrong. See what things we can fix. On Wednesdays, they'll get into individual practice, like what individually they need to work on. Thursday, we take a break. We do study hall. They come in and work on homework and stuff and make sure that they're academically sound. And then on Friday, we do game prep for next week and kind of plan out what strategies we're going to use.
That's pretty neat. What's your favorite game?
My favorite game? You know, it's hard. I'll say Hearthstone right now.
Yeah. It's like a pay-to-win game, though.
I mean, it can be, but if you put enough time into it, free play is totally fine. Like, you can...
I downloaded Hearthstone once, and I was like, it's hard to get all these good cards without having to buy all your stuff.
It is. I really like the mental aspect to it, the thinking and the strategy part.
Yeah, I like the meta part, too.
Yeah.
That part's really cool. Who picks what types of games you play?
So our national governing body, the National Association of Collegiate Esports, they're the ones that kind of set which schools are playing what games, and then we can opt into that season. So they'll say, you know, we have 20 schools that are playing Overwatch this fall. You know, would you like to be a part of that? And we'll go ahead and say yes or no. So.
All right. That's pretty neat. What was your first job in the
world? My first job was right out of college. I started at the University of Jamestown in the marketing office. I was 22 years old, and it's been a wild ride, and I've stayed actually at UJ since then, and it's just been super fun.
That's neat, bro. Any advice you have for young entrepreneurs?
You know, I'd say, you know, if you're looking at starting your own business or you know, looking into entrepreneurship, there's tons of resources out there. There's entrepreneurship centers in a lot of major cities that have funding available or spaces that you can use for offices. So just, you know, keep an open mind, ask for help. Don't be afraid of asking people, because there's resources and people out there that will want to help you succeed.
And that concludes our interview with
Josh Knutson, head coach at the University of Jamestown.
Thanks for being here, bro.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
And now it's for recording.
Cool. Thanks, yeah. Guys. Yeah, no problem.
I need to get one of these keyboards, because then, like, you're using WASD, you can just use this for, like, Overwatch Alts or switching stuff in Fortnite.
Yeah.
Good deal. Hey, thanks.
Yeah, is that nine more hotkeys?
I'm answering my call, yeah. because the morning show was all over it. Because I go, you got it, this guy.
Yeah.
He goes, right. Morning show was all over it.
Yeah.
I thought.
Yep.
Derek, no, Derek. You're the sports guy. You got to be the one to interview, not the morning show.
Yeah.
Dude, if you're still doing that esports stuff by the time I'm like old enough to get in college, I'll definitely join your esports.
Yeah, for
show.
Sure, man. Wait, what grade are you in right now?
Sixth.
Sixth grade? Okay.
So 6 4 years.
In 5.5 years.
5.5 years?
Look me up. I right. probably will still be at UJ.
All right.
And
you'll be at UCLA.
Well, UC Irvine's
UC Irvine. Irvine.
You want to go.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
I used to live in Fullerton.
They've got a ton of money.
Well, I believe that. I mean, that's right, that's Texas Instruments headquarters.
Yeah.
It used to be, anyways.
So. Irvine and Berkeley both campuses have really good schools. And Robert Morris is actually the school that, like, started collegiate esports. Like, Kurt Melcher was the guy that founded the first college esports program.
Really?
So, yeah.
Interesting.
All in our neck of woods in Chicago, kind of. So, he's still doing stuff, not so much with the school, but he's still kind of the overseer for the whole program. So.
Irvine is the Anteaters.
Yeah.
That's the name of their college. That's their nickname, the Anteaters. Yeah, I went to school at Fullerton, right? And I worked in Irvine.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a very rich city. I mean, like, you got to make seven figures to even buy a piece of property.
Wait, so what did your Overwatch team get for like?
It was like a gift card to Rock 30 and an extra glass kind of deal.
Rock 30? That's where I got this.
Yeah.
It's a piece of trash, but that's where I got it.
I really like Rock 30.
Yes,
GameStop just kind of turns me off.
Yeah, this Rock 30 has so many old consoles.
Yeah.
And they got a cool gaming one, too.
Yeah.
That'd be cool drinking Mountain Dew up.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks. Great to meet you.
All right.
Awesome.
See you again in 5.5 years.
The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. The Moody River Band has a new album hitting the downloadable streets on April 1st. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band.
Back to the way. Oh, 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 back to the way. So back to the way. Oh, 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 back to the way. Back to the way. Oh, oh, back to
the way. Jack, be nimble. Jack, be quick, Jack, will not jump over the candlestick. Why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million, too.
And that concludes this week's episode of Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. For a full list of today's guest and interview, visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. We'll be back next week on this radio station at this time. For a full list of our radio affiliates and other media partners, please visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and from the staff here at Coffee and Capitalism Radio, we're asking you to be happy, make money, and give back. Thanks for joining us this week, folks.
Sign on our front porch saying, hot stuff for sale, why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
Seems like no matter who I talk to in the world of business these days, people are telling me about the success of Hatch Coaching. Listen to what Jeff Schatz, superintendent of the Fargo Public Schools, has to say about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching.
I just thought that his story about how he talks about the struggles that he and his family went through and having children and how, you know, everybody has a hot mess and how do you deal with that in life. And I just thought that really resonates well with, you know, folks. And so I thought that would be a great message for everybody to hear. Well, then beyond that, I've also seen Eric do some of the other things that he does with emceeing and leading other types of things that he does. He does coaching, I know, with students where the principals have hired him to come in and do that. So I just extended that opportunity for him to be the MC too. He was very well received.
For more information, call 701-212-1572 or visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies.
Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? You need a raise.